If you don't have a handout, if you hold your hand up, then we'll have one of our ushers bring you a handout so you can look along with the nine manifestation gifts and the definitions of these. If you would, turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Tonight, I'm going to be speaking on the gift of the working of miracles. And we've been studying this very exciting group of lessons on the supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost for quite some time. And we stated at the inception of this study that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the gateway into the manifestation gifts. So I encourage you to seek God if you've never received the fullness of the Spirit. They're called manifestation gifts because they function in the emergencies of life. And they are manifest as the Holy Ghost manifests them. That's why we call them manifest gifts. They are supernatural. They're the supernatural surprises of the Spirit. They're exciting, they're dynamic, and they're wonderful. They're divine. And none of them function by natural means. They're all supernatural. They do not operate because of some natural ability. Not these manifestation gifts. Now, there are other giftings that you see leans and you see certain characteristics in a person's life, and those giftings flow out of some other gifts that God has given you that are natural in your life, but not these manifestation gifts. I have seen God do some wonderful things as I have ministered in the name of Jesus. I have seen him heal things that the doctors say there's no hope. I have seen him perform many miracles, and we have witnessed in this church many of the miracles that God has performed. Now, none of the gifts operate in my life because of some natural ability I have. They are all supernatural. And I say that because some people have natural gifts and they're just orators and things, but these manifestation gifts, they have nothing to do with a natural ability. I do not possess any natural ability when it comes to healing, when it comes to miracles, and when it comes to the manifestation gifts of the Spirit. These are all gifts that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, he manifests, he operates these as he wills. Now look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 with me. I keep repeating this because I want you to really understand this. Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you to be ignorant. That is one of the most profound statements I've ever heard. Yet the church today is ignorant concerning these, as a general, as a whole. 1 Corinthians 12 and 7, look at this. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. So these gifts are given for the good or for the benefit of everyone, not just in the church. They do operate in the church. Thank God for that. But many times they operate outside of the church. I have seen God do some of the greatest healings outside of the four walls of the church. And God does this to demonstrate to people that Jesus Christ is alive, that his name carries power. Now, from verse 8 through 10 that we're going to look at, these manifestation gifts are listed. 1 Corinthians 12 and 8 is all nine of these gifts are listed here. For 1 Corinthians 12 and 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But look at verse 11. But all these worketh that one and self same Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one and hath many members, and all members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. My subject tonight, the gift of the working of miracles. Let us pray. Father, we love you and we praise you and we ask you to open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, and illuminate us. Give us revelation knowledge, God, because as we approach the end times, we need more and more of the gifts manifest in our presence, Lord, because we realize that the Bible says that Satan comes down in great power, realizing his time is short. And the closer we get to the coming of the Lord, the stronger he tries to come against the church. But Lord, you have empowered us by sending the Holy Ghost and placing special gifts. And that's why we are studying this dynamic subject, the gifts of the Holy Ghost. And we ask you, Lord, to manifest them in our midst in a mighty way. And the church said in Jesus' name, amen. Now, we have studied the revelation gifts so far in this grouping of word of wisdom, word of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. We've now come to the power gifts. And the power gifts, they include faith. We did two lessons on that. Gifts of healing and the working of miracles. The gifts of the Spirit, they are weapons of our warfare. They are supernatural gifts. They are given to help us fight the battles of life. And with these gifts, we can literally turn the world upside down. It's good to see God turn your world upside down when you need healing and God manifests the gift through somebody. It's good when God does a miracle for you. And we're going to look at the working of miracles and see how God, you know, he does it through you. And the gift of faith, God just does something for you. You do nothing. God just does it. You just believe. Hallelujah. But God wants us to be strong in the Lord. He wants us to be strong in the power of his might. And the Bible says, they that do know their God shall be strong and do exploits. How many of you want to do exploits in the name of Jesus? I do. I want to see great miracles and healings manifest. Now, I'm going to make a statement here. We have covered quite a bit of material on the manifestation gifts. Now, this is a statement. At this point, it is possible that you know more about the gifts of the Spirit than most of the ministers who graduate from Bible colleges. We have covered a tremendous amount of material. Now, look at 1 Corinthians 12 and 1 again. The great apostle Paul said this. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I don't want you to be ignorant. Now, that's the Bible. Yet most Bible colleges, most Bible schools, they offer little or no lectures on this important subject. I had one course when I was going through getting my ministerial credentials that I needed to take. Only one. Now, God cannot bless ignorance. I have been going to teaching seminars for over 23 years in the IPHC. Over 23 years. I have never heard one lecture on this subject. Not one. We talk about church growth. We talk about how to put things together and this plan and that plan. Well, God has a plan. He's got a plan called the gifts of the Spirit. And God cannot bless ignorance. And we are ignorant for the most part. The church is ignorant when it comes to the manifestation gifts. Can I get an amen on that? I mean, we just do not see the miracles that we should see. We talk about what God has done, but we see them here because we are determined to teach and preach these and to illuminate people's hearts and minds. Now, as I said, God cannot bless ignorance. So we need to study the supernatural gifts. Paul said, I do not want you to be ignorant concerning these gifts. And then he says, look at 2 Corinthians 2:15. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, we live in a world that needs these gifts, and we should desire these gifts. The Bible says, desire spiritual gifts. It says, seek spiritual gifts. It says, covet spiritual gifts. And then it says, be zealous of spiritual gifts. That's been one of my passions from the moment I got saved. It's just, be zealous, that means to be passionate about something. So these gifts are not natural gifts. They're supernatural gifts of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, I'm ready for the mighty manifestations and more of them in our midst. And I want to see you empowered. I want you to see you understand them. I want to see you operating in these gifts. And if you don't understand something, you know, you just cannot operate it. Now, God may operate one through you, but when he does, You need to move in on God and start saying, hey, how did that happen? What do I need to do to understand more about these dynamic gifts, Lord? Now, we have come to the second gift, which we're studying in the gift of the power gifts, and that is the gift of the working of miracles. We know from our last lesson that the gift of faith is when God does something for you. We did two lessons on that. And you do nothing at all. Your faith just functions, and God does it on your behalf. Now, the gift of the working of miracles, God does something through you. And I want you to see that tonight, through your hands, through your minds, through your total being. God uses man. So remember, in the gift of faith, God does it for you. But in the gift of the working of miracles, God does the miracle through somebody. Now, the nine manifestation gifts, they are as distinct as the seven lamps on the golden lampstand, and they're just as distinct as the nine fruit of the Spirit. Did you know there are nine manifestation gifts? Amen. There are nine fruit of the Spirit, and there are nine beatitudes. And when you get it all flowing together, guess what? You're moving in on what God wants you to move in on. They're all distinct, yet they're linked together by the Holy Spirit. And sometimes they flow so closely together that it's difficult to say this gift is this gift and this one is that gift. Sometimes it just becomes difficult, but we just praise God for the gifts, amen. But the gifts flow together, yet no gift is dependent on another gift in order for it to operate. I think that's very interesting, because you could start out speaking in tongues, and the next thing you know, you would flow into the gift of laying your hands on somebody, anointing them with oil, and see God heal somebody. And, oh, God may give you a word of knowledge and say, this is your problem, and I see it. Now, say these words and be healed. Or God may help you discern a spirit. And you say, I see that spirit. I understand that spirit. It is a spirit you're dealing with. And now, if you will tell it to go in the name of Jesus, then I'll lay my hands on you and command it to go. And now you got a prayer of agreement going. See, you get all of this stuff flowing together. And the Holy Spirit, he's the great teacher. He teaches us. We don't come up with this stuff. Now, I can teach, but he's got to take what I'm saying, and he's got to give you revelation. Because until you receive it from him, you can't get it. It's like being born again. You don't get saved until the Spirit speaks to you. And all of a sudden, you heard a preacher preach, and you say, woo, I need that. And boom, you got revelation. Oh, look at her smiling. There's a $1 million smile. Hallelujah. Been free for over a year now. Isn't that great? That the gifts of the Spirit, praise God. And because of that, operating in this church, boom, addiction is gone. And that's the way it's supposed to be. And brokenness and fragmented lives are healed by the power of God. God is a great God. Hallelujah. The gift of the working of miracles, it is only a miracle as far as man is concerned. It's not a miracle when it comes to God. It's just his nature. God is omnipotent. He has all power. And these things are not miracles to God at all. They're only acts of God when they come to pass. It's just God's nature to bless people. It's just God's nature. He's a good God. And when you move in on God, realize, hey, God, you're so good to me. And thank you for what you've already done. And, oh, Lord, I want to understand so much more. Now, these miracles that we're talking about, they're miracles to man, because man is not able to perform these things in his own natural strength. So when it is performed, he thinks it's a miracle. But see, man can't do these things in his natural ability. So when God does it through a man, he says, woo! And then if you think you can do it and you try to manifest it again, guess what? It doesn't work. It only works when he works it through you. The rest of the time, you'll have to operate in your faith. You'll have to operate in what the Word of God says. You'll have to be totally dependent on God for these manifestation gifts, these nine manifestation gifts, revelational gifts. Look at your hand out. Word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirit, power gifts, faith, working of miracles, gifts of healing, inspirational gifts, prophecy, gifts of unknown tongues, and gifts of interpretation of tongues. Those are all manifestation gifts. Now, there is a difference in being baptized in the Holy Ghost and your prayer language, praying in tongues. You're to do that. You're to exercise that. You build up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. People say, you can't do that at will. Yes, you can. If you understand and you're full of the Holy Ghost and you exercise it, why would you say, beloved, building up yourself in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, if you couldn't do that? Why would Paul come along and say, he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men, but unto God, howbeit in the Spirit he speaketh mysteries. So we get to praying and we get to moving in on God. Next thing we know, we're not here, we're over there. And we've tapped into the treasures, the resources of heaven. And God says, I want you to pray in such a way that you bring the glory world down. Let God's kingdom come. Let God's will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's why the gifts are so important. Hallelujah. Now, when Jesus spoke to the fig tree and said, die, the next morning the disciples all excited because that fig tree, it did not die from the top down. It died at the very roots. Now, to the disciples, this was amazing because they did not operate in this dimension. They did not understand the gifts at this time. The Holy Ghost hadn't been given. Amen. But to Jesus, it was a very natural thing because he operated in the gift of the working of miracles. The working miracle part of it, it has to do with man and not with God. I said that earlier. The gifts of the working of miracles, when it works through you, God entrusts you with a strength. God entrusts you with an energy. God entrusts you with an anointing that you do not normally have. That's exciting to me because one moment you have it and the next moment you don't. And you know it was God and God operated that tremendous gift through you to bless somebody. And you might have it 1 hour, not the next. See, it's the power of God. God surging through you. God causing you to do something that normally you could never do. It's the supernatural power of God. We call that the gift of the working of miracles. But this gift, very often, the laws of nature, when this gift is operating, the laws of nature are altered or they're suspended. And that which is not normal to our human reasoning, it becomes affected about us and sometimes by us because of the moving of the Spirit. Now, I remember we were moving yesterday, and I reminded the Lord, I said, Elijah shut up the heavens for 3.5 years. Said, no more rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. I said, now, I don't need 3.5 years, God. I just need this one day. And it was raining all around. But I prayed, and I told him, I said, y'all keep praying. Y'all keep working, I keep praying. Preacher told me, said, you're the only man I've ever seen, Jerry, to hire somebody to work, and you work just as hard as they do. But I'm trying to get this thing done. But I'm praying. And I thought back to, I've got a beautiful little chest. It's cherry, and it's got inlaid burl wood on it. And I was going to buy that thing years ago. I did buy it for my wife. And I went down to Newbern to pick that thing up. We saw it, and I was going to surprise her with it. And I bought a truck, and I went down there, and they told me when I left, they said, it's going to rain. I said, not where I'm going. I'm going back to Wilson. They said, that's where it's going to rain. I said, I'm taking this piece of furniture to my wife as a surprise, and it's not going to rain on me. And I'm going down the road, and I'm driving as hard as I can. I can actually see it raining in the field off to my left. And I started praying, and I mean I started praying. I got to praying in tongues. I got to praying in the Holy Ghost. I said, I command that rain to cease. I command it in the name of Jesus. And I'm talking to that thing, and all of a sudden, that rain that I saw on my left swept across the road, and I ran right through the thing and come out into the sunshine. And I stopped, and this is the honest truth. I'll stand before God one day and give an account of it. I stopped and looked at that piece of furniture in the back. There was not a speck of rain on that thing anywhere. God supernaturally protected me. And I was thinking yesterday, I said, God, if I could do that years ago, I can do this today. And I need you to hold back the rain. Now, that's supernatural power, God. Some people say, you can't do that. Yes, you can. If you believe, you can. If God moves on you, you can. You can do all things through Christ. You can do the impossible when God operates through you. And that's this gift of faith. And you know, God does something for you. That's what he did that for me. Now, this we're talking about the gift of the work and the miracles tonight, where God does something through you. But I want you to see that they're all important. And these are power gifts. They're, man, I tell you, they're something else. They'll turn the world upside down. Now, this gift that we're talking about tonight, the working of miracles, it functioned in the Bible on behalf of one man through an animal. In Numbers chapter 22, we find a story of Balaam, a prophet. He was riding a donkey, and he was going to curse God's people, and he was going to do it for money. And the price kept going up, and he wanted more and more and more money to do this. And the animal that he was riding on didn't want to take him where he wanted to go to curse God's people. I mean, that's a miracle. He beat that animal, and the animal crushed him against the wall, and then the animal laid down on him. And Balaam said, if I had a sword, I'd kill you. He's talking to that beast, that animal, that beast of burden there. Now, listen to this in Numbers 22 and 30. Look at it. And the ass said unto Balaam, am not I thine ass upon which thou hast ridden ever since I was thine unto this day? He's asking him a question. He says, was I ever wont to do something unto thee, or is it my habit to treat you like this? He said, I don't normally do things like this. Is it wont to do unto thee? And the prophet said, nay, no. The donkey said, I have always served you. Why are you beating me like this? I mean, this is a donkey talking to a man. And God opened the prophet's eyes right in front of that animal. There was an angel with a drawn sword. And the only thing that kept that prophet from getting killed was God illuminated the mind and opened the eyes and gave that donkey a voice to speak to a man. Now, this is the only occasion I've ever known this thing to happen, but it did, you know, through, he really spoke. And if the animal had not held back, Balaam would have died. He would have got his head chopped off by the sword that was in the hand of the angel of the Lord. See, the animal, he saw that angel, but the prophet didn't. That's what happens to backslid people. Let me say that again. That's what happens to backslidden people. They don't see the things of God. Is that good preaching or not? Yeah, I mean, we have to live right. Here's a man taking his prophetic mantle and wants money to curse God's people. Can you believe such a thing? I tell you now, the gifts, they're wonderful, but they're so precious, we don't treat them in a way that's irreverent. We reverence the things of God, and we hold them very close and very dear. Amen. Now, the animal saw that angel, but the prophet didn't. And God gave that animal temporarily, this one time in his life, the voice of a human To us, it's a miracle because donkeys don't talk our language. But on this occasion, a miracle took place. People say, oh, I don't believe that. Well, then you can't believe in miracles. If you can't believe the Bible, how can you believe in a miracle when you need a miracle? If God can open a donkey's mouth, don't you know he can open somebody's mind when disease comes and the devil tries to take a human mind away and he tries to kill us with cancer and stuff like that? I heard a lady say the other day, she said, I don't understand why God took my husband. He was such a good man. Well, I didn't tell her God didn't take your husband. She could not have received that from me. But God didn't take that man. No, I mean, have you ever considered as a devil? Have you ever considered the natural course of events? Why would you tell somebody that a good God that saved you and that has blessed you would take your husband from you? She just is illiterate concerning the Bible. And my telling her otherwise would not have helped. Well, she goes to church, but they don't teach this kind of stuff at her church. So they think God is a bad God. They say, well, God made Job sick. No, he didn't. God let the heads down, and the devil did it all. And Job thought God did it. He didn't know the narrative. It's the oldest book in the Bible. Well, God showed him up at the end. He showed him who he was, that I'm giving you double for your trouble. But it was the devil that did it. God was just bragging on old Job. Now, look at Numbers 23 and 8. God did not want his people cursed by this prophet. Look what Balaam said. How shall I curse whom God has not cursed? Or how shall I defy whom the Lord has not defied? So that donkey got that man's attention. Hallelujah. God suspended the laws of nature, and he did that which is not normally done, and he used an animal to do it, and he worked a miracle through that animal. Now, we find this gift, the gift of the working of miracles, very remarkably demonstrated in 2 Kings chapter 2. It's Elijah, the great prophet Elijah. I love him because, and I like Elisha. I really like Elisha because he had the audacity to tell this great prophet of God, when you leave, I want a double portion of the spirit that is on you. I think we ought to be around people that are spiritual and people that have tremendous gifts operating in them. And something should grip our heart to where I want that. I want more than you have. And praise God, they that hunger and thirst after righteousness shall be filled. Be zealous of spiritual gifts. Desire spiritual gifts. Covet earnestly the best gifts. Paul said, yet I'll show you a more excellent way, love. He said, if I speak with the tongue of men and angels, have not love, I am as a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. If I give my body to be burned, had all kind of gifts operating, he said, if I don't love, he said, I'm nothing. That ought to teach us something, amen, that we ought to love people. And we ought to love them so much that we study these great gifts to where when they're sick and they're needy and they're hurting, we can take the power of God to them. Amen? Now, God used Elijah mightily. Look at 2 Kings 2 and 8. Elijah took his mantle, wrapped it together, smote the waters. He's at the Jordan. And they were divided hither and thither so that the two of them went over on dry ground. He's got the young prophet with him. And he's showing this young prophet some things, how to operate in the gifts of the Spirit. He's showing him the power of God. He was out, you know, working with oxen when the prophet went by and dropped his mantle on him. And that man went after him. And he went after him with something big, all of his heart. I want a double portion. Now, when he hit that mantle on that water, the river rose up on both sides. And all Elijah did was struck the water with his coat. And Elijah and his servant Elisha, they walked across the Jordan River on dry ground. What in the world would cause a coat or a jacket when it hit a body of water to cause that water to stand up and congeal and freeze on both sides? What could cause the riverbed to dry up for you to walk through that riverbed on dry ground to the other side? This was the working of a miracle. This was not an act of faith where God did something for Elijah. This was the working of a miracle where God did something through Elijah. Now, that's why we classify this as the working of a miracle. God did something through him. Daniel, he operated in the gift of the working of miracles. Now, David operated in this gift of the working of miracles. Now, seven of the nine manifestation gifts of the Spirit, they operated in the Old Testament. There are only two gifts found in the New Testament that have been added, and that's the gift of tongues and the interpretation of tongues. That's why we say that the baptism in the Holy Ghost is the gateway into these gifts. I know good preachers in other denominations, but I can tell a man when he preaches whether he's filled with the Holy Ghost or not. You can tell it. I mean, if he's got an unction, boom, he's got a dynamics in his voice. The others have the love of Christ. They're in the body. I love them, but they don't have the dynamic power. And they go to schools that teach them, oh, that's not for today. Don't get mixed up with that crowd. Why? You know, they say, don't you know that's of the devil? My Bible says they spake in tongues and prophesied. Said they spake in tongues and as it pleased God. I'll tell you, you have to go back to what the book says. Hallelujah. Now, the gifts of the Spirit belong to God's people. They existed in the Old Testament and in the New. They belong to God's people, and God wants us to get a hold of them. Why would somebody think something ceased in the New Testament? As you analyze the Bible and look at these great prophets and these great people of God, you know, the Spirit of God, that was kings and priests and prophets. And those people, they had an anointing of the Holy Ghost, those three offices. And the Spirit would come upon them at times. And, you know, I thought about that. They come upon us. I know the Holy Ghost is in me, but these gifts come upon you because you don't possess them all the time. Not these manifestation gifts, but the Holy Ghost is inside of me. And I'm ever aware of that. I have never wondered for one moment whether I was saved or not. From the moment I got saved, I have a little voice inside of me that says, you belong to God, that you are chosen, that you have yielded yourself to the flame. And when I got saved, I knew about being sanctified, and God just sanctified me because I was seeking God. If I had enough sense, I'd have been filled with the Holy Ghost and spoke in tongues. I just didn't know how to receive. But I tell you what, I went to church the following Sunday, and I said, I come to get the Holy Ghost. I'm not leaving this place without him. And that's the way you have to go after God. You go after him, be zealous, covet, desire, and seek God, and he'll show up. Now, when David slew a lion and a bear with just his bare hands, that was the working of a miracle. No human being on the face of the earth can go and take a wild lion and destroy that lion with his bare hand. Strong men can't do that. The spring of a lion will knock you down. The long fangs will cut you to pieces. His sharp claws and his great strength would maim you. And you'd be finished. That's just it. That's how strong a lion is. I mean, he's called the king of the jungle. And I tell you something. The only thing, when a lion roars in the jungle, everything gets quiet. The birds quit singing. The animals lay down. Everything hushes. And there's no other sound in that jungle except for the sound of another lion. You've heard me preach it before, Sister Clara. Hallelujah. Jesus is called the Lion of the tribe of Judah. The devil goes about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. But I'll tell you what, the true lion is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. His name is Jesus. And if he's for you, who can be against you? Go on, praise him. Hallelujah. We serve the Lion of the tribe of Judah. And that's why we can do supernatural things through Christ, which strengthens us. He sent the Holy Ghost to empower his church. Hallelujah. So for a human to tangle with the lion, pull his jaws apart with his bare hands and kill that beast, it takes a power that a person normally does not have. So it's the working of a miracle. It's a miracle because it was done through David. It was different in the story of Daniel. Daniel did nothing. God did it for Daniel. God shut the lion's mouth, two of them. So Daniel was functioning in the area of faith. He trusted, and he knew he was coming out of that, yet he did nothing because God did it all. Now, the king knew something about old brother Daniel. He goes back the next day, and he told him the night before, he said, your God will take care of you. He goes back the next day, Daniel, are you there? You better believe I am, and I'm ready to go to work. Hallelujah. He was a worker, but God did it for him. Hallelujah. And he trusted God, and he knew he was coming out of there. He did nothing at all. But David functioned in the area of miracles, and with his own hands and the Spirit of God upon him, he destroyed a lion. David killed a lion, and he killed a bear with his bare hands. They tried to take one of his lambs. Of course, they probably didn't believe David when he told his stories. And guess what? There are people who will not believe your exploits either. So sometimes you just have to keep them between you and God. And whether anyone else believes it or not, it really doesn't matter. God did it. And if God did it, that's it. And it's the end of it. Hallelujah. But people don't believe those exploits. I tell people about the miracles and the healings we see in this place. And they say, uh-huh, yeah, really. And they don't believe it. If they did, this place would be packed out. Look at the sick people. Look at the people that need miracles from God, need the power of the Holy Ghost in their life. Go to AA. I'm not against that. Praise God. Go out there and get straightened out if you can. Go to rehab centers. That's all right. But you go right back to the drugs if Jesus doesn't do something for you. You just go right back. You can't help yourself. Like a moth driven and drawn to a flame. You ever been down a road like that where you had a problem you couldn't get rid of? And you tried and you tried and you tried and you tried and you tried, but you couldn't? And then you went to the cross with it. What you couldn't do for yourself, God reached in. Woo! And God did it. I tell you, he's a good God. And if people would just realize how much more God wants to do, they would go after God in a big way, in a mighty way, in a dynamic way. The gift of the working of miracles that functioned in David's life. And no doubt, up until the time that he finished off Goliath, there were quite a few people that doubted David's exploits. They just wouldn't believe it. And it's the same today. You know, they just don't, people, you know, I'll never forget the time I was in I'm not going to call the name of the church, but I was in an assembly, and this head dignitary stood up, said, I'm looking forward to the day. I'm a young Christian. He said, I'm looking forward to the day when the devil says, Jesus I know and Paul I know and the church of so-and-so I know. And I'm brand new. I said, brother, that day will never come. God does not move through organizations. God moves through people. And we get all mixed up and think our denomination is so great. No, it's just a vehicle through which we preach the good news of Jesus Christ. It's an organization where people come together for covering. And I tell people, I said, you need a covering. You need to be a part of something that's dynamic and something is growing. But don't ever get your eyes off of one thing. That organization never saved anybody. That organization didn't save you. and it will never save anybody. The only thing that will ever save anybody is the blood of Jesus Christ. And somebody believing that in their heart and confessing him with their mouth, that's the only thing and the only way. And no denomination ever saved anybody. I like denominations. I'm glad to be associated with the International Pentecostal Holiness Church. But I tell you what, it's not my God, and it will never be. Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. I tell people like this, I'm so glad that I got saved and Jesus got a hold of me for the church did. Church is good. Church is a good place to assemble. But get there to learn about Jesus. Go there to be empowered. But don't ever go there and make it a God. And some people say, oh, I'm Baptist and I'm Pentecostal and I'm Methodist and I'm this and I'm that. Do you know Jesus? That's the important thing. Have you been born again? Nicodemus comes at night and says, we know you are a teacher sent from God. Nobody can do these mighty works. He's a religious man. That's all he had. Jesus told him, you must be born again. Some of the greatest words ever preached by the Master. You must be born again. That which is flesh. That which is spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, you must be born again. And we got people that they think it's so great, you know, to be a part of some organization. No, it's great to have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. And it's great to know that you know and be sure that you're sure that you're born again and that God has saved you through the blood of Jesus. Go on, praise him for that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The gifts of the Spirit don't function through an organization. They function through people. God wants us to understand the gifts. If God does something and we don't know what it is, how can we yield ourselves to God again so God can do it again through us? That's why these things are so important. God wants us to praise him. He wants us to seek him. And he wants us to do that when he does something great for us. Another example of the working of miracles is Samson. Samson was a judge of Israel. And just like David, he slew a lion, with his bare hands. Now, on one occasion, he slew 1,000 men with the jawbone of a dead donkey. Here were men who had bows and arrows, implements of war, and Samson stood against them with the jawbone of an ass, and he killed 1,000 men. That was the functioning of the gift of miracles. You don't take a dry bone and kill 1,000 warriors. That's what we mean when we say God does a miracle through you. Samson also pulled apart and dislocated the pillars of the great temple. And he destroyed thousands of Philistine soldiers as he just stood there and pushed them apart. This was a miracle. Samson had backslidden. He said, oh, God, will you just give me your strength one more time? Just one more time. Let me feel your presence one more. Don't you like to come to church? Just feel his presence one more time. Just one more time, Lord. Just one more time. And with strength of the Spirit of God surging through him, he pushed those pillars apart. A little boy had to lead him to the pillars. The thing he loved so much was a woman. And they put his eyes out. He never saw another woman again. That's what the devil will do to you. He'll destroy you and strip you of everything if you let him. But God is a good God. And God gave that man the power to stand there. Why are these Old Testament stories so important? They're examples. They're object lessons for us to draw strength from so we know how God operates. Amen. Now, as we go to John chapter 2, we find Jesus. The beginning, John 2 and 11, the beginning, I love this, of miracles did Jesus in Cana of Galilee and manifested forth his glory, and the disciples believed on him. Isn't that beautiful? That's what the Spirit of God will do. People will see Jesus. Amen. They will see him in your midst. In our day, since the cross, they will see that Jesus has been resurrected. that he's alive and that he is performing many miracles in his church. That's why the gifts are so important. Yet we don't have lectures on them. We're trying to tell somebody how to grow a church. Dear God, get in there and work. Just work and work and work and work and put things together and it'll grow. God will grow it. He'll add to his church. I'd just rather have the power of God than to go out and build something huge and big with no power, no presence of God, and I can't get somebody healed when they're sick and can't get somebody blessed when they're bound. I'd just rather have God. And if I'm wrong, praise God, I'll just be wrong and stand before God. But when I read this book, I know I'm not wrong. I know God wants us filled with the Holy Ghost and operating in the gifts. Amen. You know that Jesus turned that water into wine. And they said, you've done differently. You saved the good wine, the best wine for last. Most people, they serve the good wine. But see, Jesus, the best wine back then was non-fermented wine. It was a delicacy. It was, and that's what Jesus produced. And the governor of the feast said, well, you saved the very best to last. Hallelujah. What I'm trying to tell you is Jesus was not anybody's bartender. It was non-fermented wine. Wine is raging, and strong drink is a mockery. Why would God put that in the Bible and then turn around and have Jesus serving somebody wine that would make you drunk? Go read the book of Proverbs. Open your eyes up, son. Hallelujah. Then Jesus, he fed the multitudes, of course. But you know, the gift of the working of miracles, God does something supernatural through man. And the gift of faith, God does something supernatural for man. That's what I want you to see in these two power gifts. Now, we're going to move in on the gifts of healing. They're powerful. They're dynamic. They're the only one called gifts, G-I-F-T-S. And so there are many gifts. Find the gifts you operate strongly in. And when you find sick people that, I just tell them. I said, praise God, I can pray for that one with power. And I believe the gifts will operate through me because I've seen God do it. Because I know there are certain gifts that operate strong through me. And you have to learn that. Nobody can say, this is yours, this is yours, this is yours, except the Holy Ghost. God says, this is yours. And you cannot deny it. People don't believe. Do you believe God heals in this place? Have you seen enough of it? Hallelujah. I've seen God do many things. So, you know, God does it. Now, this is the greatest of all miracles. God chooses the foolishness of preaching to save the lost. And the greatest of all miracles is the new birth. So I am looking at miracles right now. God does this through people where one man preaches, oh woman, oh you witness, and somebody else hears the good news of the gospel. They believe on that. They believe the news, and God overrides nature. A man's nature and a woman's nature is to sin. We were all born and conceived in sin and iniquity. But God gives them a new nature when they're born again. Isn't that beautiful? Look at Romans 10 and 10. Romans 8, you put Romans 10 and 10 up there. It says the word is nigh thee, even in thy heart and in thy mouth. That is the word of faith which we preach. If thou shalt believe in thy heart and confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, thou shalt be saved. Now look at verse 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. You just believe the preaching of the cross, and all of a sudden, the greatest of all miracles could ever take place. Because look at 2 Corinthians 5:17. If you don't believe, this is the greatest of all miracles. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And it goes on to say, and all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Christ Jesus and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We have been given the ministry of the greatest miracle of all miracles, telling people about Jesus, ushering them into the kingdom of God, seeing their lives totally change. That is the miracle of miracles. You know, this is the greater work that Jesus spoke of. He said, the miracle of miracles is the new birth, and we're to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. We're to preach the gospel. And when we do, guess what? The world will be affected by the good news. Many will receive Christ as their Savior. Jesus said, the works I do shall you do also, and greater works. The greater work is the new birth. And most people in the church don't understand this. But nobody, not one soul, could ever be saved until Jesus Christ went to that old rugged cross, poured out his precious blood. It spattered upon the ground. It echoed up into the heavens and cried, "It is finished." It echoed down the streets of gold and cried, "It is finished." And Jesus comes walking in. The angels begin to sing, "Lift up your head, O ye gates, be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty in battle. He is the King of glory. "Lift up your heads, O ye gates, and be ye lift up, ye everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is this King of glory? His name is Jesus. Hallelujah. And he went into the holiest of holies, where no one could go. But the high priest and the great high priest, Jesus Christ, walked into the throne room of God, put his blood on the holiest of holies, right there on the mercy seat. God's gavel of justice came down. Boom! The claims of justice were satisfied. And God said, "Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Aren't you glad that you're saved? The greatest of all miracles. Jesus said, "You've not chosen me. I've chosen you. And I've ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit. Tell the good news. Tell what Jesus has done for you. You have a testimony. It will affect so many people. You don't have to get up and preach. Just tell the story. If God calls you to preach, then preach. But go and tell the good news." I had a man working for me today. I bought his lunch for him. I bought the other guy's lunch. But the other guy, I'd already talked to him about Jesus. And I went back and I had a guy working. I said, "Have you ever been born again?" "Yes, I have. When I was 12 years old. I don't live right now, but I believe in God. I believe in Jesus." I said, "I understand, but you need to get it all right with God." There are a lot of people that believe, but you got to receive and walk with the Master. Let us stand. You have a testimony. Pastor Ricky.
He touched me. Oh, he touched me.
Working a miracle.
And oh, the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made